when we pray this way, then the angels rejoice. That finally, that is, there's, the angel is rejoicing that there is much incense that can be poured out. This prayer, this incense that can ascend to the throne, and we must all practice to pray this way. At this golden incense altar, if we pray this way, then surely much will happen. And I hope we will experience this even more. It is not a prayer that is for ourselves, but it is a prayer for the fulfillment of God's plan. And in all the epistles of Paul, we see such a prayer, full of a consciousness of what God desires. A prayer that cooperates with God for the fulfillment of his purpose. To pray for the saints, for the kingdom, against the enemy. All of these things must be contained in our prayer. So all of us priests have to learn this. How we can serve in this manner, in this sanctuary. And the ministry, the service there, is not just a prayer to pray for just anything, but it's a prayer that is cooperating, working together with the Lord on the throne of grace, so that God's plan and his purpose would be fulfilled where we are on earth. And the Lord has taught us to pray this way, that his name would be glorified on all the earth. Lord, your name shall be glorified on all the earth. Your kingdom must come. Your will must be done. The enemy must really stand beneath our feet, be trampled. Many saints must be sanctified, saved, conveyed, that we would all come to the full knowledge of the will of God that would be filled. All of this is contained in such a short prayer. Can you imagine? So we don't need such a long prayer. It's just short. But in these short prayers of Paul, everything is mentioned. Everything that matters is mentioned. Because he really knows this ministry of prayer before this golden incense altar. And then the angel can also work with us. We should not think that we are just alone, and the angels have nothing to do. The angels want to work with us, but they have no golden bowls, so what can they do? They don't want to just pour out this incense anywhere. But now he is receiving a holy priesthood that works together with God for the fulfillment of his purpose on this earth. I hope that we would all receive such a vision, such an understanding that the Lord, that our God and Father needs such a priestly service for the fulfillment of God's plan. And today, the Lord is sitting there on the throne, and it's not that he's just sitting there, but he is very busy. As the high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, don't think that he is just sitting on the throne and waiting. He who is sitting on the throne is as a priest. He is a priestly king. He is crowned. If he were just sitting as the king, then he would just be sitting there and commanding. But he is sitting there as a kingly priest, or a priestly king. He is both a king and a priest. And because he still has much left to do, he is not yet finished. And so he stands before the Father and he intercedes for us. He prays for us. And he helps us to fulfill God's plan. We must all see this today. It's not that the Lord has nothing to do. And therefore he is up there as the high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. So capable, so absolute. He can save us to the uttermost. And he wants to help us in every situation, even in this current situation. Don't think the Lord knows nothing about it or that he's sleeping. No, fortunately, he never sleeps. We still need sleep, but he does not. And I believe that he is surely caring about these things more than we are. But he's not there just to defeat the enemies left and right, but he also wants to gain a holy priesthood. For him, that is the goal. That is worth much more than everything else. For some, this may just be nonsense if they hear it. But for us, I hope we can comprehend what is in the heart of our Father. It's the way in which the Lord actually wants to complete his work and fulfill his work from the very beginning to the end. That's why this priesthood is not just one thing among many. Do you understand what the scripture means, is saying? The priesthood is the one thing the Lord wants to receive for his kingdom. It's for his kingdom. And without this priestly service, you can talk about the church and talk about the building up and so on. And in the end, where is the building? Today, you see this all before your eyes. And this is not a criticism. No, but we must learn. We must see. 40 years we talked about the building up, and what is the result? It's destruction. Everything has come to nothing, zero. Negative, zero. So this must be a revelation to you, is it not? Don't think I'm upset or angry. No. Look, I can still laugh. And we also have joy, don't we? Don't you have such a joy in the meeting and at conferences? Or do you want to have a conference filled with hate? No. We need to have patience, endure, long-suffering with joy. That's how it must be. That's how it should be. It's important for us, and it's important for the Lord. The priesthood the Lord desires to have today is not just one thing or a thing, but it is the thing that the Lord wants to gain for the fulfillment of his purpose. And that's why we see at the very beginning, although we are starting at the end of the outline, no, it doesn't matter. That's still wonderful. It shows we are not dependent on a piece of paper. This priestly service will consecrate us and exercise us to bring us to perfection so that we may reign with Christ. That's really true. We must learn this, and it doesn't mean we have already learned it, but through His mercy and His grace, the Lord is beginning not only to show it to us, but now the time has come, because the Lord is coming soon, He's also bringing us into the reality of it. What use is it to us if it's all just knowledge? Maybe for some people it is just knowledge, or strange knowledge even, but for us it is very current, very applicable, and full of reality. We always need the light, don't we? And the bread, the wonderful food for the saints, a priesthood. We need this. What else can sanctify us and make us holy? Tell me. You want to exercise sanctification without light? Can anyone be holy without light in the darkness? Look at how holy people are if they are in darkness. And without this wonderful food of the humanity of Jesus, we end up acting like crazy people. Uncontrolled people, full of hate, without any truth. Do we want to be such people? We have been robbed of the truth. How can we be holy? It's impossible. So the Lord must show us, how can we become this holy priesthood? Not just a priesthood, but don't forget this modifier, this adjective, a royal and a holy priesthood. There is no priesthood without holiness. That's really true. Because this whole room, this area where the priests are serving, has a holy atmosphere. Can you imagine? It's too bad that there is no place on earth that looks like this, like the sanctuary and the most holy place. But if there were to be such a place, you would be ashamed to enter in. And that's why no one was permitted to enter except for the priests. And they had to be holy priests. And Nadab and Abihu, who served in such an unholy manner, they were consumed on the spot by fire. That is a warning. It's a warning for us. And so it's important for us to see the whole picture. It begins with the true worship. And now we come to the holy priesthood. And after 2 years, we're still not done. Maybe we need 3 more years to fully complete the education, because there's so much, and it includes so much. It encompasses so much. And maybe people may not understand why after 2 years we're still talking about it so much. What is there to talk about? Is there so much to say about the priestly service? Well, they would be even more surprised because the whole scripture actually is speaking about it. Oh, may the Lord grant us more grace. Father, we are prepared. We are ready to learn. We want to lay hold of everything that you have planned. Help us to understand it. And to bring it into reality through the Holy Spirit. Really, bring us into this through the Holy Spirit and teach us to practice it daily, to have much experience. Oh, Lord. We want to not only lay hold of this service, but to exercise it, to carry it out until we are perfected. We rely on you. You are the great high priest, and surely you will help us to fulfill this. Amen. Praise the Lord. Today we'll read Leviticus chapter 8. Leviticus chapter 8. In this chapter, it is talking about the consecration. The consecration of Aaron and his sons. The word consecration has to do with sanctification. It's related to the word that means to be holy, to be separated, the sanctification. You can't say, oh Lord, I consecrate myself for your service, but what does that mean? And consecration in the first instance means not only that you give yourself, but that you are separated from everything else that is unholy, that is common, that is profane. And then in this, to enter into this holy place, into the sanctuary, because God is holy, the one whom we serve is holy. So how can I, as an unholy man, full of flesh, full of darkness, and so on and so forth? Well, we can make a very long list, as it says in Galatians 5, and even longer than that list. How can I serve the holy God? Have you ever asked yourself this? And so Peter, in his epistle, told us that you should be holy. That's a command. Be holy. It's not just a request. It's a command. Be holy. Be holy, for I am holy, God said. So you can imagine that the one whom we are serving, who sits here on the throne, is a holy God. He is himself holy. So the consecration speaks for itself. Many years ago, we use this word, consecrate. Lord, we consecrate ourselves to you for Christ and the church. And we consecrate ourselves to do this and to do that. But we had no idea, no concept of what we were actually saying. So in the end, there was no result. It all became nothing. It was everything but holy. So before we even speak about consecration, we have to have the proper understanding of what this word means. Otherwise, everything is for naught. It's all for nothing. Well, in English you say it's for the birds. In German you say it's for the cat. So may the Lord grant us mercy. The Lord must grant us mercy. So it's not just a separation, but it is according to the nature of God, who is holy, and we pursue the holy God. It's not just outward sanctification, it's also inward in our heart. To have a pure heart, as Matthew says, Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And Hebrews 12 says, pursue holiness, without which no one can see God. That means that a pure heart, an inward pure heart, you must have an inward pure heart in order to see outward holiness, but not just a superficial holiness. That is hypocrisy. The more religious someone is, the more they can pretend, even better than a Hollywood actor, to be holy. Someone clapped. Too bad only one person clapped. Well, in the end, through your appearance of being holy with your weeping and your crying, oh, you fool everyone, and your false humility. In the end, you convince everyone. No, not everyone. She said, no, not everyone. And so, dear saints, the Lord already warns. Because one important kind of leaven that the Lord warned us of is hypocrisy, the leaven of hypocrisy. And so, dear saints, the sanctification is not just outward appearing, but it's connected to a pure heart. And the evidence of being holy is that you know God more and more, and you will see Him. That's the evidence. It's the proof. That's what it's about. And the more you see God, the holier you become. And the holier you are, the more you see God. And that's why the prophet Isaiah, when he saw God, he immediately realized, I am so unholy. He who does not see God thinks that he himself is still so holy, but he who sees God recognizes, I am a man of unclean lips. Why does he say unclean lips? It's not that he was scolding or cursing every day, but that of which the heart is filled, the lips overflow, because we are so impure, unclean. And so this consecration is actually the sanctification. It's the sanctification. If you have no intention to be holy, then you don't have to bother consecrating yourself. Then it's nonsense to talk about the consecration. What are you being consecrated for? And how can you serve this holy God? It's impossible. It's a sheer impossibility. Only if we properly grasp this word, then we can speak about consecration, and then we understand why we need such a process as it is described in chapter 8 of Leviticus. And if we say that has nothing to do with us, then okay, I'm not upset, I can't do anything about it. These are not my words, they're not my instructions or commands, they are his commands. If you don't want to hear it, okay. But if we want to be priests, then we have to go according to his speaking. And we have to know exactly what this consecration means for us. It's so important. Amen. Any questions? Any questions before we continue? And the Lord spoke to Moses. So you see, this is not something Moses made up. He was not that capable. But he was faithful. He didn't have to be so capable to make everything up himself. But the Lord spoke to Moses, take Aaron and his sons with him. This is so wonderful. Aaron is the high priest, but there are also his sons. Remember in Hebrews in chapter 2, I and the sons and the children whom God has given me. You see, it's so wonderful. If there were only one and no children, no sons, then this priestly service, this priesthood would not be so glorious. Aaron alone is not as good as Aaron and his sons. Is that not wonderful? Praise the Lord. Do not think that Hebrews has nothing to do with the books of Moses. The Lord is the firstborn among many brethren. And as the high priest in the midst of the assembly, and the assembly is this place here. It's the sanctuary. It's not an assembly just anywhere. What is meant is this wonderful heavenly tabernacle that the Lord is building today and erecting. That's where there is the true worship. Praise the Lord. Take Aaron and his sons. Exactly as the Lord is consecrated to the Father, Aaron and his sons should also be consecrated in the same way, holy as he is holy. Just as holy and consecrated as the high priest was, so the sons shall also be consecrated. Take Aaron and his sons with him. Is that not wonderful? Not just Aaron, but his sons with him. And the garments, praise the Lord, the anointing oil, a bull as the sin offering, not a small lamb, but a bull as the sin offering, two rams, and a basket of unleavened bread. We need all of these things for the consecration. Can you imagine? How can you consecrate yourself as a priest to the Father without a bull as the sin offering? Or you say, oh, we don't need offerings anymore. Well, without an offering, how can you function as a priest? And it's not just a small sin offering, but as a priest, you need a bull. A large offering, a strong one. So we see when a priest sins, he really needs a big sin offering, a bull. We must see this. And thankfully, we've already spoken about the sin offering quite often, hopefully. Otherwise, how can we consecrate ourselves to the Lord? It's impossible without an offering. Amen. A bull as the sin offering, two rams. So you need two rams for the consecration. And we'll see later what they are used for. And a basket. Not like that yellow basket back there, or the basket for money. It's the offering box in the back of the room. A basket of unleavened bread. Oh, now all these things are coming again. If we don't have and don't know these things, no wonder we're so unholy. And in the end, we're just doing nonsense. And those who throw away, want to cast away all these offerings and all this unleavened bread, see if they are holy. You think the Lord God, our holy God, will accept our consecration without all these things? I have no words to show you how important this is. It's not just a practice. No. For us, it is a reality. It is Christ. In a very specific way. Maybe they don't need it, but I need it. Or do you not need these things? Do you not need unleavened bread every day? Or not? Who does not need this? Do you not need a sin offering? And just a small female lamb? No, you need a bull. And gather all the congregation together at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. That means everyone has to see and recognize this. So they know. So they know what it's about. Light is holy. What God does is not in darkness, so that only a few people know about it and no one else gets to know. O Lord, it must be clear, observed, and seen by all. And Paul also says this to Timothy, so that your progress may be evident to all. Oh no, it's just for yourself, and no one knows if you've made progress or not, or if you've done nonsense. Not just your progress has to be evident to all, but if an elder does something that is not right or something bad, he must be chastened before everyone publicly, openly, because otherwise at the end everything is hidden. So we must all see this. The Lord does nothing that is hidden. And gather all the congregation together at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Not a single word is written for no reason. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. If it were not Moses, maybe the person would have said, it's none of everyone's business. They're not the ones being consecrated. It's just Aaron and his sons. So the five of them, that's plenty. It's too much trouble to still get the whole congregation together. Wouldn't you say that? No. The whole congregation. Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the congregation was gathered together at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And Moses said to the congregation, this is what the Lord commanded to be done. Everyone had to know. It was just not a few people, not just a few people who knew, and that was good enough. People are this way. They don't want to just know their own lie. They want to spread the lie to everyone. So praise the Lord. Moses did this. Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. Amen. First, we must be washed. We cannot consecrate ourselves as just as we are. They had to be washed. He washed them with water. And he put the tunic on him, girded him with the sash. Maybe later, if we have time, we will look at the description of the clothes, the garments. Unfortunately, I'm going a little bit backwards, but that's okay. Doesn't matter. So you need the garments, and the garments also must be consecrated. Must be holy and be sanctified. And he clothed him with the robe and put the ephod on him. So how many layers are there? You have the tunic, then you have a robe, just like with us. We do the same thing. There's the inner layer and the outer layer of clothing, and then a coat over that, and maybe and a hat. And put the ephod on him, praise the Lord. And he girded him with the intricately woven band of the ephod, and with it tied the ephod on him. Then he put the breastplate on him. Oh my goodness, so much, so many things. A breastplate. And he put the Urim and the Thummim in the breastplate. and he put the turban on his head. Also on the turban, on its front, he put the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And on the diadem it says, Holy for the Lord. You have to always think this. Without this, you cannot serve in an unholy manner, and that's why our service is often not fruitful. So we do a lot of nonsense, improper things. And we bring forth no fruit. And rather we're doing nonsense. So what results from our service is so corrupt and it's destructive. And you are destroying not just yourself, but you destroy the others. We must learn to put on all these garments. So we see that this high priest, especially the higher you are, the more important it is. And Aaron as the high priest, there's only one, and that's not the oldest or the elder or the apostle. But it's Aaron, and Aaron is a picture of our Lord. He is the high priest today, according to the order of Melchizedek, which is a much higher order. It's a heavenly order, an eternal order. He is a priest forever, and he lived such a life that was exactly as what we see in Aaron's garments, was so pure inwardly, and then he had a heavenly expression, this wonderful blue tunic, and then the ephod and the breastplate. And he bore the entire New Jerusalem that God wanted to build in his heart, and he bore the names of the 12 tribes on his shoulders. And he was holy, holy, from the top of his head until his feet. So we see how the Lord was consecrated to the Father on this earth. And so he is so qualified to be the high priest. And it's written that he was made perfect through many tests and trials, trial by fire, many temptations from all sides. And he overcame. The Lamb overcame. Overcame everything. So pure, so perfect, so righteous, so obedient. Passed every test. Heavenly. So qualified and so strong to bear the burden of the entire people of God. He came solely to fulfill the will of God. In his thoughts, he thought only of the purpose of God. So pure, so wonderful, and so holy. What a Christ have we. I mean, we must see this today. Actually, the Lord is this high priest that is consecrated. And where were you? Where were we? We were in verse 9. Actually, verse 10. As the Lord had commanded Moses at the end of verse 9, and then 10. Also Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it and consecrated them. He sprinkled some of it on the altar 7 times, anointed the altar. So you see everything that has to do with this and all its utensils and the laver and its base to consecrate them. So to consecrate means to sanctify. Remember, it's the same word. It's the exact same word. And he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. And the German translation actually says to sanctify him. So to consecrate, you need the anointing oil. Then Moses brought Aaron's sons and put tunics on them, girded them with sashes, and put hats on them. As the Lord had commanded Moses. So we see the priestly garment of the sons is a little different for none of us is like the Lord himself. Oh, woe if we would try to replace the Lord. The sons all have the same simple garment. It is simple enough for us to be holy. We actually cannot bear anymore. We're not so capable to bear all these other things. In the end, we'll be lying on the ground. We can't get up. It's so strange we don't have this concept. We want to make ourselves greater than what we are. Did Paul not say, no one shall think greater of himself than he really is? Be better to think that the other one is greater, that we would each think the other is greater than we. But unfortunately, we are different. We always think that we are greater than the others. If I have just a small position, I already think I'm somebody. And I'm already climbing up onto the throne and want to replace Christ. This is a sickness of Satan. It's a sickness that's in our flesh. Oh Lord. And so after everyone has the proper garment, then he brought the bull for the sin offering. Then Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the bull for the sin offering. And Moses killed it. Praise the Lord. Then he took the blood and put some on the horns of the altar all around with his finger and purified the altar. So even this burnt offering altar must be purified. Everything that has to do with God must be holy. And he poured the blood at the base of the altar and consecrated it to make atonement for it. Then he took all the fat that was on the entrails, the fatty lobe attached to the liver, and the two kidneys with their fat, and Moses burned them on the altar. And just as the Lord described the sin offering, the bull, its hide, its flesh, and its offal, he burned with fire outside the camp, as the Lord had commanded Moses. How often does this have to be repeated? And the people don't want this. They say, oh, it's too bothersome, too troublesome. We don't need any of this. That's the Old Testament. Verse 18. Then he brought the ram as the burnt offering. Amen. And Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram. And Moses killed it. Then he sprinkled the blood all around on the altar. And he cut the ram into pieces. And Moses burned the head, the pieces, and the fat. Then he washed the entrails and the legs in water. And Moses burned the whole ram on the altar. It was a burnt sacrifice for a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses again. Yeah, we need a burnt offering. If you don't know the burnt offering, how will you consecrate yourself to the Lord? Sin offering, burnt offering, without these offerings, it's impossible to consecrate the priests. It's impossible. You can't just say, here I am, Lord, I give myself to you. I consecrate myself to you. The Lord will say, on what basis? Just as you are? And how long does that consecration keep? And what will you do? And how are you serving? And so you see the end result. You see what happened. So this burnt offering is very important. So we'll continue to read verse 22. And he brought the second ram, the ram of consecration. Now we're coming to the actual consecration. This second ram, first a bull, then a burnt offering, and now this is a special ram, the ram of consecration. Then Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram. So you see, the basis of our consecration is not that I consecrate myself. The basis of our consecration is the Lord himself as the burnt offering, as the sin offering. Without him, and not in him, and not through him, it is impossible to consecrate ourselves. And we must see this. And Moses killed it. Praise the Lord. It's not Aaron and his sons that Moses killed, but Moses killed the ram. Also, he took some of its blood and put it on the tip of Aaron's right ear. The tip is also the earlobe, actually. It's the earlobe. What's so important about the ear? Is your ear important? Really? Okay, good. Praise the Lord. You know, your ear must be saved. It has to be consecrated. It has to have on it the blood of this ram of consecration. So I want to see if there's any blood on your earlobe. On the tip of Aaron's right ear. On the thumb of his right hand. And on the big toe of his right foot. Then he brought Aaron's sons, and Moses put some of the blood on the tips of their right ears, on the thumbs of their right hands, and on the big toes of their right feet, exactly as he had done with Aaron. Praise the Lord. And Moses sprinkled the blood all around on the altar. Then he took the fat and the fat tail, all the fat that was on the entrails, the fatty lobe attached to the liver, the two kidneys and their fat, and the right thigh. And from the basket of unleavened bread that was before the Lord, he took one unleavened cake, a cake of bread anointed with oil, and one wafer, and put them on the fat and on the right thigh. And he put all these in Aaron's hands and in his son's hands and waved them as a wave offering before the Lord. Wave. Swing. Oh, it's so complicated. Well, we don't need this, right? It's so complicated. And then Moses took them from their hands and burned them on the altar, on the burnt offering. They were consecration offerings for a sweet aroma. That was an offering made by fire to the Lord. This is very similar to the peace offering. Oh, you will say, that's too much effort. That's because you make it so complicated. But we need all of this. And here we see that this consecration is very practical. You say you want to give yourself. Well, first of all, you have no concept of sanctification because God is so holy. And someone who wants to serve God as a priest is not only holy, but first of all, he has to learn to listen to God. That's your ear. The Lord has to daily, early in the morning, give us an ear to hear what he wants to say to us. Otherwise, what comes out of your mouth, if you're not, first of all, hearing from him, everything the Lord said is what he heard from the Father. The words I speak to you, the Lord said, are not from myself, but it is what I have heard from the Father. And what about us? What do we speak? And the saints, what kind of ear do we have? We like to hear chatter, gossip, lies. Lies are very effective. You know, they're more effective than truth. No one wants to hear the truth. But back then, when the high priests and the scribes and the Pharisees talked about Jesus, all the people listened to these lies, and the lies entered into them right away. But no one wanted to hear the word of the Lord. No one wanted to hear it because they had an uncircumcised ear. Moses, have I said too much? So we should not listen to everything, really, but learn to hear God. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who has an ear, what kind of ear? An ear that has the blood of the ram of consecration on it, on the right ear. This kind of ear can hear the voice of the Spirit. If your ear is not consecrated to hear only his voice, you will hear from left and from the right everything people say, and you're all ears when people talk. Oh, you know what I heard about? Oh, what? What did you hear? Yes, that man was so evil, and blah, blah, and so on. When this poison enters into you, it fills your heart with hate for no reason. Why do you think the whole people was filled with hate against Christ? They cried, "Crucify him." Where did this come from? What did the Lord do to them? The Lord just did good things the whole time he was there. He healed them. He fed them. For free. So why in the end did they say, "Away with him, crucify him"? Where did this come from? It came from the lies of the high priests at the time, the Pharisees and the scribes, who were jealous. They were afraid that they would lose their position. Even Pontius Pilate, he recognized it. He recognized it. So the people in the world might even recognize the situation more or more likely than the religious people. Do you want to be a priest? Then you need an ear that hears the Lord, and an ear that really knows and recognizes the voice of the Lord. Then you can discern. If you can't discern, then in the end, you will have an ear like Eve, who was led astray because she had an ear for the serpent. And if you open your ear to the serpent, you will forget what the Lord said. So, if a priest wants to consecrate himself, the first thing to do, we must see the sequence. First the sin offering, then the burnt offering. You have to be holy entirely for the Lord your whole life. But after the burnt offering, you have to have the consecration offering. And so practical. It's putting this blood on your ear. What will you do if you can't hear what the Lord is saying? What will you do? What will you say? How will you serve? With what will you serve? So, the ear is very important. Lord, I want to learn to hear you, to obey you. Speak to me daily. If we don't hear him, then we cannot serve. And how do we serve today? We serve with the Bible, but we hear nothing from him. So we just get doctrine and teaching, and we make a message from what we see in the Bible, and that's it. But to hear from him, none of that. We're hearing nothing from him. So if we want to have such an ear, then we must also have a pure conscience. And the word conscience comes from the word to know. It means you have a consciousness, you know. And it's not just that you know just anything, but you know this thing is not right. It's not just any kind of knowledge, but the conscience in particular reacts to the things that are wrong, the things that you do that are not right. Then your conscience reacts. And the blood purifies our conscience. And the conscience is connected to our ear. I want to know what the Lord is speaking to me. Lord, speak to me. Speak to me what is in your heart. Show me. And that's the ear of a priest. So, you hear no nonsense. And if you hear properly, then you can discern. You discern whether something comes from above or if it comes from below. You discern what is spirit and what is flesh. What is good, what is bad. As it says in Hebrews 5, you discern what is spiritual and what comes from man. James says, the wisdom from above is the wisdom of God. It's full of purity, full of holiness, normal, righteous. It impacts your daily life, but the wisdom from below is soulish, it's demonic. Can you discern that? We have to be able to discern it. And James teaches us to discern we have to be able to say if the wisdom is coming from above or if it's from below. But people cannot discern. So in the end, if you're influenced by this wisdom from below, then you are angry, you're evil. Oh, if you see this brother, oh, he's leprous, I can't speak with him. Is that the kind of fear that you have? What kind of wisdom is that? Yeah, people have lost their ability to discern because they listen to everything. All the garbage comes into your ear. Yeah. All the trash is coming into your ear. Otherwise, through which hole? It's the hole in your ear through which all this garbage is entering into you. And then, in addition to the blood on the ear, we need the blood on the right thumb. That means what we do. Why not the rest of the fingers? Well, because with the fingers alone, you can't do anything. Without the thumb, you can't do anything. You can't use a hammer properly. There's no strength. But with a fist or with the thumb, you have a lot of strength to do everything that you need to. Then you are capable to do all this nonsense and everything that you should not do unless your thumb is also saved through this blood. Then you are able to do everything. You'll do anything except what God wants to do. And in the end, what you do or don't do will destroy everything. It will destroy the work of God. So the thumb must also have the blood applied to it. It's not nail polish. Don't use a nail polish for your right thumb. But it has to be the blood from this ram. The blood of the consecration offering. That's what we need. So that no matter what we do, it's fully according to the work of God. And the Lord said that the works I have done is not my work, but it is the work of the Father. And it's the Father who is doing this work in me. If you don't believe me, then believe the Father, right? What are we so upset about if we were talking about offerings and worship? Is that bad? Is it evil? Tell me, brother. We're talking about worship. Are we talking about Las Vegas or casinos? That would be bad, but we're talking about worship. Is that so bad? We're talking about offerings. Is that bad? Tell me. No. It's wonderful. It's what the Father desires. So when people do certain worldly things, you say nothing. But if people want to talk about true worship, then you get upset. And you will tolerate people who do so much nonsense, and you say, we have to tolerate them, we have to bear them. But then when I talk about true worship, you say, that's intolerable, can't take it. No, it's the opposite. It's the reverse. Lord, what shall we do? If I'm upset... Oh, if I'm angry, if I'm evil because I'm talking about these true things, then fine, let me be evil, please. You can call me whatever you like. What shall I do? I don't want to be a so-called good like them, but I want to be so-called evil according to what God tells me to do. They also called Jesus that, as they said he was possessed by demons. It's actually the reverse. So we cannot do that. The right thumb must only do the work of God. We don't need to do anything else. Because you're a priest. If you're not a priest, okay, then can't tell you what to do. You can do whatever you like because your right thumb is not consecrated. But if you're a priest, then sorry if that's too narrow for you, if that's too restrictive. Well, the Lord is not forcing you to be a priest. even believers, even in the church. You have a lot of freedom. There's much you can do. But if you are a priest, you can no longer do everything that you want. Then daily you have to remember, oh, the blood is still there on my thumb. It's not going away. It's not a teaching. It has to be your reality. We need this ram of consecration. And then our big toe must also have the blood on it, so that you will not go just anywhere, to go wherever you want to go. So you see people go, they follow blindly, they go wherever. If your right thumb does not have any blood on it, or if your red toe, your big toe does not have the blood on it, then you will just go wherever people go. You can go anywhere you want. I think you understand what I'm saying, so we will continue it in the next meeting. The gong will come soon. The gong for the mealtime here.